Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Mary's second day of Christmas. Hey, that was really good. That was really good. So when you go out tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, you do what I do and you wish everyone around you a Merry Christmas and watch as they look at you weird. But it's okay because we are actually in the Christmas season. I have to begin this sermon a little bit more lightly because we're going to be hitting some pretty hard topics. So I wanted to begin with a day that is probably in the back of your mind, especially given the tune of our opening hymn. And that is Good King Wenceslas. It is the feast of Stephen, I don't even know how it's supposed to be pronounced. I think I pronounced it three different ways so far today. But the fact is that there was a real duke named Wenceslas. And today, on the Feast of Stephen, he is looking out, just as we hear in that carol each and every year. Think about some of these words from the carol. Good King Wenceslas looked out on the Feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. That's today. That's the second day of Christmas. This duke looks out on the day that the church remembers the first martyr for Christ, St. Stephen. Brightly shone the moon that night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight gathering winter fuel. Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou know it telling. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling? Sire, he lives in a good league hence, underneath the mountain, right against the forest fence by St. Agnes' fountain. Bring me flesh and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear the thither. Page and monarch forth they went together, though through the rude wind's wild lament and bitter weather. Sire, the night is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Fails my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer. Mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly. In his master's step he trod where the snow lay dented. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing. You can see why it's not a hymn that we sing in church. It doesn't necessarily point to Christ's death on the cross for all sinners. But it does tell a story, and it's a good story. It is a story of a monarch who looks out at a poor man on the second day of Christmas and tells his page, we are going to bring him food and we are going to bring him wine. You see, this duke was a real man who lived in the 10th century, a millennia ago, millennium ago, exactly about 1,000 years. This carol, is made by a man that we have sung hymns translated by time and time again. Because the author of the carol, Good King Wenceslas, is a man named John Mason Neal. And if you go to my Bible studies, you'll have noticed that we talked about him. He is the great translator of the Latin hymns of old. Some of his translations include Creator of the Stars of Night, O Come, Emmanuel, A Great and Mighty Wonder, Of the Father's Love Begotten, All Glory, Laud, and Honor, O Sons and Daughters of the King, Jerusalem the Golden, among many others that we sing each and every year. Yes, Good King Wenceslas is a carol that tells a real king's story. A man who walked through deep snow, something that we don't really know how to do right now, do we? He walks out because he is giving alms. He sees a man who is poor on the second day of Christmas, and he takes his page and he brings him food and drink. It's a wonderful testament to how the Christian heart is supposed to live. To be there for others who don't have as much as we do. It's a story of a man who was a Christian. A Christian ruler. A man who worked in the government who actually believed in God. How wonderful a story that is. But today I want to focus on another man. A man who lived as Christian men are called to live. A man that was actually bold in his faith and was willing to tell the truth. We see martyrdom in our second lesson. We see martyrdom in our Old Testament lesson. And why are these two men martyred? That is, why are they killed for witnessing the faith? Because they spoke the truth. This Zechariah lived at a time when God's people had abandoned him. They began to worship false idols. It would be like building statues to the creation rather than to the Creator. It would be like worshiping the creation rather than the one who has created them. They had turned their hearts and their backs on the one true God, the God that would deliver them time and time again. And when a man was raised up by God to proclaim the truth, they killed him for it. And yet proclaim the truth he did. These were Zechariah's words. He says, "Thus says God, I am speaking on behalf of God to you to call you back. Why do you transgress the commandments of the Lord so that you cannot prosper? Because you have forsaken the Lord, he has forsaken you." Our world has forsaken the one true God. Our culture has turned to false idol upon false idol. Think about what was on TV yesterday. We couldn't have a single day to just spend together rejoicing in God, yet they had to put a bunch of games on the TV for us. Can't we actually spend time in God's Word together? Can't we worship on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day and return again on Sunday? I'm so thankful, especially to those of you who've spent 3 days in a row with me. Now you know a little bit how it feels like to be in my family, in my home. But it is a joy, because it is Christmas and we are celebrating the faith that Zechariah had, celebrating the faith that St. Stephen had. How incredible it is to go before even your religious leaders, the elders and the scribes and the Pharisees, and to be blasphemed yourself, to have the eighth commandment completely and utterly destroyed in your presence. And yet, what does he do? He proclaims the truth. He should make all of us a little bit bolder. That when the world throws accusations at us because of what we believe, we stand up and say, "Yes, I believe in the Jesus whom you put to death. This Jesus who died for my sins. And he died for yours too." That's the proclamation that we should give to those who come after us. Guess what? I have joy because I am a Christian. And you don't have to be so angry anymore, because that Jesus died for you too. Let me tell you about it. Come and sit with me. Let's get a coffee and let's dig through the scriptures together. And let's learn more about this Jesus, this God who took upon flesh to be our Savior. Stephen is full of faith and the power of the Holy Spirit. He did great wonders and signs among the people, and they attacked him for it. You see, he preached Christ and him crucified. He proclaimed the message that each pastor is meant to proclaim throughout all of Christendom. He preached the same message that you should all proclaim to the whole world, a message of great joy. Stephen was stoned to death. Can you imagine how painful that would be to stand there as a whole crowd throws stones at you until you are dead? and yet he did it willingly. He stood steadfastly. He turned to his Lord in prayer, and he cries out to the God of his salvation. That should give us all a little bit more boldness. It should make men stand up and say and do what is right, even if the world mocks you for it. I don't know if Jesus is going to return in our lifetime, but I know he's coming. And I know that all of us face a reality of, before his coming, death. And on that day, my prayer is for all of you to be found confessing the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Stephen did, just as Zechariah did, just as all the martyrs who have gone before us. I hope that your confirmation vows to rather die than fall away from the church are true, and that if persecution does come, you will stand along with Stephen and you will confess Jesus as Lord. In the face of death, he is our life. In the face of destruction, he is the cornerstone that we build ourselves upon. Let them be cut to the heart. Let them gnash their teeth at us. And then let us proclaim with St. Stephen, "Look, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." And even though they cast stones directly in front of Saul, you know Saul. Saul would be a changed man as well, because he too would be converted. A man who rounded up Christians to be killed would be converted and write the majority of the texts in the New Testament. If God can convert Saul, a man who was present at the murder of the man that we are remembering today, if he can convert him and he can use him to draw so many people to himself, don't you think he can use us too? I think he can. I know he can. So be bold. Now is the time to be bold in the face of even persecution, and rejoice that when we fall asleep, we shall see Jesus. Amen. The church sings. Praise for the first of martyrs, who saw you ready stand, to help in time of torment, to plead at God's right hand. Like you, our suffering Savior, his enemies he blessed. With Lord, receive my spirit, his faith by death confessed. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.